7 o'clock in the night. Yeah. Okay. I invite you to stand as you are able and turn toward the center aisle as the light of Christ is brought into the sanctuary.
It is this turning or reorienting ourselves toward the holy that is the essence of our season of Lent. What we pay attention to is what we are formed by. So let us continue this season of listening, of hearing that still small voice, and finding our own true selves. Please join in singing Come and Rest. The insert is in your bulletin. Prayer as a spiritual practice may come easily for you, and maybe it doesn't. Even the most devout among us has doubts about prayer's power at times. What is it? How does it work? This week we will consider that the mechanics of what happens in prayer is not as important as that we do it. Because whether or not the outcome for ourselves or others is an actual healing, the very act of being entangled with God and with others through prayer has healing and power-bestowing benefits. You are invited to sit quietly in the silence without any expectation of what you ought to be thinking. Don't worry about sounds from children or cold. Simply let them float into and out of your attention. And if you find it difficult to settle your thoughts, contemplate the suggestion in your bulletin. Please join me in the examine prayer. The responses are in your bulletin. For that which then I thought was right, have mercy, God. For that which now I regret, forgive me, God. For that which hence I know not what to do, guide me, God. Come and rest. Come and listen. Know that grace, forgiveness, and guidance are available to you at each and every moment that we turn to receive them.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand if you are able and join in singing our opening song. There is a Balm of in Gilead, number 375 in the red hymnal.
invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all. Have you ever done something that you feel really bad about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it comes back and you think about it again and again.
Like a boomerang.
Like a boomerang, that's right. And sometimes you've asked for forgiveness and you know that God forgives you, but you just keep thinking about it. Every once in a while, it just kind of pops up and you feel bad all over again. I don't know if that happens to you, but that happened to me. And so I've got something this morning that when we think about prayer, okay, I'm going to write it down on this piece of paper. And no one needs to know what it is beside me, except for me, but I'm going to put this piece of paper in that water there. Well, you want to see why? Come on up. It's ripping now, isn't it? Huh? You want to try it? Okay, go ahead. Okay, it disappeared. It's gone. And you know what? My feeling bad about it. This reminds me, you're going to get to do it too. Yeah, just put it down for right now though. You're all going to get a chance to do this. But so that reminds me that God has forgiven me and I don't need to keep holding on to that. Okay? So you can have, do you write yet?
Yes. Jacob can.
Jacob can't write. Well, can someone write something for you? Or you could draw a picture, Jacob, of something that you want to be forgiven for or something that you want to just let go of it and not have to think about it anymore. Here. Okay. When someone's not, there you go. Okay, can he have a pencil so that he can write it? Here.
We're going to wait for our turn at a pencil.
No, right here. Okay. You need a piece of paper, okay. You can write it however you want to write it, okay? We got to share the pencils, though, when we're done with them. Here you go.
Can you throw it in?
Okay. No, not yet. We're going to do it.
She's using that one.
There you go. Oh, you did it. Okay, here's one. Okay, does everyone have a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay, something that you just don't want to bother you anymore. Do you need a pencil or are you done? You wrote it, okay. Okay, has everyone written it? Okay. Look at that, that's kind of down there yet, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, you can take turns doing that. Okay? Yeah, put it in there. Look at that. That disappeared. Okay, now let someone else. Yeah, you're going to get a turn, James. You can go down. Yeah, you can go sit down now. It's okay. No, it's okay. You can. Yeah, you swish too, Jacob.
Cold.
You want to help it to disappear? Do you want to do it again? Do you have something else that you want to let go of? Okay, then you can do it again. Uh-oh. Okay, so I remember last week when we did the prayers over there?
Yeah.
And I let you do that while we went on with the service? Okay, as long as you're very, very quiet as you're doing it, you can do another one. Okay?
We did that same activity with the youth group a couple Wednesdays ago, and their lists were very long, and it took the whole time. So I can understand why they're coming back up. Psalm 22 will be read as a responsive reading. Please join me with the responses in the bulletin. My God, why have you left me all alone? Why are you so far from saving me?
So far from my anguished groans.
My God, I cry out during the day, but you don't answer.
Even at nighttime, I will stop.
You are the Holy One, enthroned.
Israel's praise.
Please join in singing. Listen, verse 5, the insert is in your bulletin. We will sing it one time.
Listen to the cry to be whole. Listen to the cry to be whole. Listen to the cry to be whole. Listen, God is singing. God is singing.
Our ancestors trusted you. They trusted you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you, and they were saved.
They trusted you. And they weren't ashamed.
I offer praise in the great congregation because of you. I will fulfill my promises.
In the presence of those who honor God.
Let all those who are suffering eat and be full.
Let all who seek praise the Lord.
Listen to the cry to be whole. Listen to the cry. Listen to the cry to be whole. Listen, God is singing. God is singing.
Mark 5, verses 24 through 34. A large crowd followed him and pressed on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
I want to see.
Followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
Has something like that happened to you? Something is wrong in your body. You go to see the doctor and they can't figure it out, so they send you to a specialist. And the specialist doesn't have a clear picture of it either, and so there's a sort of a diagnosis. But that that's not helping you. You're not getting better. You're getting sicker and sicker, and no one can tell you what's wrong with you, so they can't fix it. Mark tells us that this woman had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. 12 years. She must have been anemic. I'm guessing that she was feeling hopeless. And it wouldn't surprise me if she slipped into some depression. She goes to the doctor. He can't help her. So the hopelessness deepens. And now she's getting worse. So there's more hopelessness. She's just going to have to live with it. And the doctors tell us that as well. It's just something that you're going to have to deal with. Live with it as it is. And that doesn't work well for us because we live in a time that we think that, this part of us thinks, that the doctors can fix any problem we've got. I knew a young woman who had hyper sweating. That's not the right name for it. Her hands were always wet. Her armpits were always wet. She only wears black clothes because everything else, the stains, the wetness shows underneath. And she's lived with this for over 20 years. There are times that she went to the doctor, and they one time suggested that she wrap her hand, well, put some lotion on her hands, and then wrap the hands with a saran wrap for the night. It didn't help. There's some super strong deodorant that you can get. And don't only use it under your arms, use it on your hands as well. And that doesn't work. And she's really disappointed because she's young and she has all the faith in the world in doctors to be able to fix any problem. But it exists yet. That woman who hemorrhaged all those years must have suffered from depression. And then she received the reports of a man named Jesus and how he was having a remarkable effect on people. There were people who had been blind and now they could see. There were people who were not able to hear and now they could. There were people who weren't able to walk and they're walking now. This must be a powerful man, and she was desperate to be among those who he touched somehow. And she gets there and there's a whole crowd of people and she can't get close. She can't ask him. She's struggling to get into that mass of people and she can get close. But then someone else shifts and she's further away. Finally, she just reaches out to touch his clothing. And the hemorrhaging stops. In our world, in our time, that doesn't work very well for us. Because we want a better explanation. We want to know the science of it. We want to know if it really happened. She touched him. You know, we sing the song, "He touched me." But in this case, she touched him. And healing happens. And some of us may have experienced that kind of healing, but not all of us have, because there's different kinds of healing that does come to us. But we're captured by the faith of this woman. Really? It happened that way? Wow! It happened that way. She believed that she could be cured, and she was. And so she forces us to re-examine our faith in the mystery that is around us. She causes us to think about those things which can't be explained that are beyond reason. I just read a book called God Calls Collect from Cleveland. And if you haven't read it yet and are planning to read it, just plug your ears for right now. But in this book, there's two men who meet in the military during the Vietnam era. One of them has been raised Catholic and is on his way to becoming an attorney when he's drafted. The other, we don't have that much history about him, but the two of them become fast friends, and it looks like they're both coming home from Vietnam. They're going to do well in this life after war. And the guy who writes the story has lost touch with Pat. And every once in a while, at one point he ran into him, and he came and stayed, but this is before, when he was a young man, stayed with him for a while. Then every once in a while, Pat would call Collect from Cleveland. And it happened at the most unusual times for this family. It seemed like it was when they were having a particular difficulty, when something was hard in their life, or the man and his wife had lost two children, and they were going through that struggle, and Pat calls Collect from Cleveland. And they take the call every time. And over the years, they begin to figure out that it really does happen. Not when things are going well in their lives, but when they're having a difficulty, Pat calls Collect and offers them a word that lifts them up. And they put it together, and they realize that Pat is God's messenger in their lives, that they would continue to have faith, or that they would grow in their faith, or they would trust God and trust what's happening to be turn out to be a good thing. As I was reading the book, there was a part of me that thought, you know, I could go back over my life and I could pick out those points too. And I could label them, well, God was trying to reach me that way. Any of us can do that. We can give meaning to those experiences after they happen. And that's what they're doing. There's a part of me that says that. But there's another part of me that knows that God's messengers have intervened in ways, some that allow me to be here today. And Americans aren't so good at wanting to trust something that's super magic, supernatural, or magical, or mystical, or mystic. These mysteries, we want answers to them. We believe that we can find the answers just like we expect that doctors can find the answers. This story, the account of this woman hearing about this man who healed, and trusting that just to touch his cloak. And one of the translations says that she just touches the fringe on his coat. Just the fringe. And she's healed. And we know in our lives we've had those kinds of experiences. One that's just amazing to me is that they can take, when our kidneys quit working, we can be put on a machine and it can take all of the impurities out of our bodies for 2 or 3 days. And that's amazing, because generations ago, when people's kidneys failed, that was the end for them. Or that a doctor can snake some kind of a wire up in your from your leg into your heart and replace a valve. That's a miracle. And we can know all of the science of it, but that doesn't answer all of our questions. How can it be? We need to be reminded that there's more to our human life than just reason. Why does it happen? I don't know. There's a mind and a heart and a wonder and powers that we can't explain. Jesus invites us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with our whole being. So we can't find all of the answers just using the reason. There's power there, but that doesn't answer all the questions. Parker Palmer, in one of his books, one of the chapters, talks about depression. Talks about how his depression debilitated him and how it made him unable to function. I kind of understand depression. I think I've suffered with depression, from depression, because of depression, so at some times during my life. But I knew a woman. I was living with her family. And one day she started crying and couldn't stop crying. One day, she wasn't able to make meals for her family anymore. One day, she wasn't able to even get up out of bed. She just cried all the time. And people saying, "Come on, buck up," didn't help. And people saying, "But look around the world. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful?" That didn't help. And people saying, "What is it that you've done that's working on you and driving you to this?" And that didn't help. Sometimes when we meet someone who's depressed, we become like Job's friends, trying to figure it out. I don't know what drove her into that depression, and I don't know what brought her out again, except that when she talked about it, she would talk about going so far down and so far in, and at some point she discovered the image of God that was within her. And somehow she got the message that said, "I love you," from deep within. Didn't hear it. It was just a message that came to her. Now, hearing that message didn't cure her. She needed to go to the doctor. She needed some antidepressants. And fortunately, it was the generation of medications now that don't zombie people out. But it was within that she found the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ. She found the power so that she was able to come back and live fully, wholly again. I don't know how all of this image of God stuff works within us. But like the woman who just needed to touch Jesus' gown, she knew from where the power came. And she knew how to reach out for it. And she trusted that she would receive that power. We know the power of God. How can we look at a child and not be absolutely amazed? And I know sometimes we look at those children and we get frustrated or impatient. But how can we look at a child and know the miracle of how it began? And although we may plan a pregnancy, we may want to get pregnant, we may hope to have another child, it's a miracle when it happens. And if these little ones are a miracle of God, are we not also? And if that power of God is within us, cannot all things be healed? Not always the way that we want, we hope, we pray for. Can it be healed? Our broken spirits, our broken hearts, the injuries that we faced. God gives us the power. God gives us the power. There's times that we need to let things go. There's other times that we need to take hold of something. I can't explain it all. But I've experienced that power. In my life, I've experienced that power in the lives of the people in the churches where I've served. Can't explain it, but I've seen it. We're invited today to receive the power that we are given by God in our creation, and we're invited to receive that power that we're given through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope I didn't spoil the story for anyone. Book. We are given many gifts, and one of the gifts is that we have an opportunity to give back to God some of the blessings that we have received. I invite the ushers to come and receive our gifts. Let us pray together. As we offer treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, and of community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, this morning we are going to pray for those who are going on the VIM trip. We want to pray for Phyllis Willoughby. Keep Clara Bolton's family in our prayers. Dave Regala was in the hospital last Sunday. He's now at a care facility in Baraboo and is doing rehab. Alice Kinchy was in the hospital last Sunday, and she is now at a Grace in Fitchburg and in hospice. They are hoping that they will be able to bring her home for a day. She really wants to be home, but it doesn't look like she's going to be able to live at home again. Are there other people or situations? Let us pray. Healing God, there are so many situations that we encounter which are in need of healing and restoration. We try to do the best that we can, but we cannot rely on our own strength and skills to bring about the healing that is often so desperately needed. And so help us to trust in you. Help us to work and to live to promote healing and hope. We come before you with concerns on our hearts. There seems to be no end to the desperate needs of some people. And yet you love and you hear all of us as we pray. You surround us with your love and your healing mercies. You gently lift us and you give us courage to work for you in ministries of peace and love. We pray this morning that all who need healing would come to you. We pray that Clara's family would continue to turn to you as they walk through these days of grief and celebration. We pray for Dave and Judy as he continues to gain strength. We pray that he would get the care that he needs. We pray also for Phyllis, that she would gain strength again, that she would get the care she needs as she heals. And we pray for Alice, that she would be comfortable, that she would be at peace. Our will, O God, might be that she would have one of those miraculous healings. But we pray your will. And for those of us here, those of us in our community, and those in our world, we pray that you would heal our hearts from anger, that you would heal our spirits from fear, that you would heal our lives, the alienation of families, that you would heal our addictions, heal our doubts, heal our faithlessness, heal our apathy. For all who are burdened come to you. We know that you offer healing. Gracious God, cleanse that which is static and toxic. The ways in which you will ask us to be present with others, we open ourselves to you. We join this prayer and all that's on our hearts and minds this morning, all that have been offered to you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And as our closing, would you turn to hymn number 428 for the healing of the nations? Please stand. And now as you move back into the world, hold that which is happening on the outside and the inside dear. Love what comes across your path for what it will teach you. Cherish the struggle that stirs in your gut for how it will guide you. And know that all people carry within them the essence of the divine, the holy wisdom given at birth. Listen every day until we meet again. Get quiet enough to hear the still small voice and to find your own. And may the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with you all. Amen. And would you turn toward one another and sing Shalom? First my right side, then the left.